God, how long do you have to ask for help and cry and beg before you'll listen? Seriously, when are you going to rescue me? When are you going to actually do this thing? I thought you were good. I thought you worked everything together for good for people that love you. This doesn't seem good. This doesn't seem fair. I just don't get it. God, I don't get it. Now, how many of you felt a little uncomfortable with me talking to God like that? My man, thank you. Yeah, a few people. Because it seems weird for us, especially from a pastor, right? But let me ask this. How many of you honestly would say that you have felt like that before? Yeah. Now, how many of you are feeling that way right now? That's what I thought. And I get it. I completely get it. Because as your pastor, I'm right there with you. 2019 has kicked off rough. In fact, the title of this series came straight from one of my prayers a few weeks ago driving down Barstown Road. Where all I could think that I was thinking, wrestling, and all I could think to say was, God, I don't get it. I just don't get it. And over time, if you're a Christ follower for any length of time, you're going to run into that moment. Pretty much everyone raised their hand saying that you've felt that way before or that you're feeling that way right now. And we're all going to run into those type of situations where we have questions. Sometimes it even leads to straight doubt. And if I'm being honest, which I typically am, sometimes to a fault, the church as a whole has done a very, very poor job of helping us work through these kind of thoughts and questions. We have. Many times churches, they just remain silent on it. They just won't even talk about it. They won't even acknowledge that we as humans can go through this type of season. So they just don't even talk about it. Ignore it. Blissfully ignorant to it, right? But then other times, the church will actually speak out against it. They'll speak out against it and say things like, don't question God. How many of you have ever heard that? Yeah, don't question God. Don't worry about it. Just have faith. Because that's really easy. If you're a true believer, you won't have any doubts. You won't. So just put that out of your head and believe. Church has done a poor job at times. Not all churches, but a lot. And all this actually does is it keeps us from moving forward. It keeps us from moving forward in our relationship with Christ. It causes us to suppress and ignore what we're really feeling and thinking inside. And what that leads to is stunted spiritual growth and powerless faith. Because we're ignoring and we're not working through things that we need to work through. It causes many people, in not working through those issues, to simply walk away from God altogether. I've seen it time and time again. And so today, in kicking off this series for the next few weeks, what I want to do is I want to share a different perspective with you on what it means to be honest and raw and authentic with God in the way that we're feeling in a moment. When we come face to face with those times in life that we can actually go to God and ask him some questions. It's a perspective that I think to be true and healthy for us. On top of that, it's extremely biblical. And so what we're going to do over the next few weeks is that we're going to be working through the book, the Old Testament book of Habakkuk. Because Habakkuk, just like many of us, man, he faced this point in life where things just didn't add up. He came into a situation where he began to think to himself, like, this doesn't seem right. Like, what I know in my head and what I believe isn't lining up with what I'm seeing and experiencing. He ran into that situation as well. And what we're going to see is that he begins to question and confront God. Something we don't talk about a lot. Right? In fact, in chapter 1, he kicks this whole book off with a pretty bold statement. It's actually what I opened the message up with. What I was saying is really just a paraphrase version of this. These first few verses. So check it out. In verse two, in chapter one, says this. It says, "How long, Lord, must I call for help, but you don't listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you don't save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing?" Essentially, he boldly goes straight to God and says, "God, where are you in all of this? This doesn't make any sense. It doesn't seem fair. God, I just don't get it." And these are the same questions that I've heard from time to time throughout my life. You know, one of the most popular is, why do bad things happen to good people? Right? I'm sure almost every one of you have thought that or said that or heard that. It's pretty safe to say that's the case. Or why is it that I'm constantly struggling through life? Like, I can't ever seem to get a leg up. Things don't seem to be going my way, yet I'm trying my best to serve God. I'm trying my best to do the right thing, yet these knuckleheads over here that don't even believe in God, man, they seem to be thriving. Or why is it that I'm honest and hardworking at my job and I put in the time and I'm faithful to that, yet my coworker over here that's unethical and that's cutting corners all day long seems to get the promotion or seems to get all the praise? Why is it that the alcoholic abusive father down the road is alive and well, yet the 34-year-old father who loved and cherished his wife and kids dies of cancer? Why? Why is it that I've prayed and I've believed and I've prayed for healing, yet nothing? I prayed for my circumstance to change. I prayed to be free from this addiction, but I'm still struggling. I'm still wrestling, and I feel like I'm alone, and God, I feel that you're silent, and this is a mess. It doesn't make any sense. God, I just don't get it. And Habakkuk was no different. This is exactly where he was. Man, he was a faithful man of God. He was a prophet. God called him to be a prophet. So he was one who spoke on behalf of God. And he came face to face with an extremely difficult situation. One that he didn't get. One that rocked his faith to the core. It didn't make any sense to him. And as you read through this, you can hear from his voice, even just those first couple of verses, how painful and challenging and difficult this was for him to understand, for him to relate to. So as we move on, before we go any further, I want to give you just a brief little context of the book of Habakkuk to help you better understand kind of what's going on here. So Habakkuk, again, was known as a minor prophet, right? So there's major prophets and minor prophets. So there's 12 books in the Old Testament that are very short. I love short books in the Bible. It's like, oh, I just read a book of the Bible, and it was 3 chapters, so I feel good, you know? So those are my favorites, right? But there's 12 books, and Habakkuk is one of those minor prophets. And of these 12 minor prophets, we know less about Habakkuk than any of the others. All we really know from scripture is that he was most likely a temple musician, and at some point he became a prophet. And again, like I said, a prophet was someone that God had called and ordained to speak to the people on his behalf. So what would happen is that God would give Habakkuk a word, right? And he was supposed to share that with God's people. And he would do that by saying, thus says the Lord, and then he would deliver that message. And in this book, it was written around 600 BC, give or take a few years. And at this time, God's people were kind of going in the wrong direction, right? They were pretty rough. There was violence. There was corruption. There was a plethora of wickedness. Even the people that were good weren't so good, right? And so that's kind of where this was. And so God sends Habakkuk this message, and he says, these people that I love, man, they're becoming pretty bad, pretty rough. And they seem to be continuing to go more and more that direction. So what I'm going to do for their own good is I'm basically going to punish them. But what you need to understand is that I'm going to use a far worse group of people to punish them. And I'm going to use those far worse people to destroy you. And Habakkuk's like, what? Are you kidding me? So you're saying we're bad and we need to be punished, but you're going to take these people that are 10 times worse than us to do it? To carry that out? Doesn't make any sense at all, God. Not only did it not make sense to him, he didn't like it. And he didn't want to deliver that message. Now, I think it's also important to note that Habakkuk's name actually means to embrace or to wrestle. To embrace or to wrestle. And what we're going to do in this three chapters, we're going to watch as he wrestles with this message that God gives him. But while wrestling, he continues to embrace God. And it's this beautiful, beautiful thing. And as you've probably already figured out, maybe because you've never even heard of Habakkuk, let alone know how to say it, maybe you didn't even know that was a book of the Bible. And if you did, you don't know what's in it. And a lot of that is because not too many preach on this. Not too many people talk about this, because this is not a nice little neat, clean book in the Bible. This isn't one of those things where there's a problem, and then by the end of it, it wraps up in this nice, pretty little sweet package where you have the fairy tale ending. This isn't that book. And so a lot of times, people don't preach on it, but what this book really is, it is a very nice, clean picture into life, into what we experience day in and day out in real life scenarios. It's a book full of tension and stress, drama, frustration, and unanswered questions. I don't like unanswered questions. I know many of you don't either. But in life, there's plenty of them. So let's go ahead and jump back into the book of Habakkuk here, beginning in chapter 1. And let's start back at verse 1. We'll jump over there. And it says this: the oracle, or another version says, the burden that Habakkuk the prophet received. So the book kicks right off the bat stating that Habakkuk received a difficult message from God, right? This burden. God gave him a burden, a difficult message, one that he didn't like, he didn't want to hear. And he definitely didn't want to deliver. And he did something that none of the other 12 minor prophets did. And that's he pushed back against God. He pushed back. He began to become very honest and bold with God and ask some really difficult questions. Again, back to verse 2. We'll read it again, but this time we're going to go through verse 4. It says, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you don't listen? Or cry out to you violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. In other words, God, I don't get it. I mean, I'm crying out, but nothing. How could you allow such terrible things to happen to innocent people? If you're truly good, if you're truly who you say you are, then why aren't you doing something about this? In verse 4, therefore the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem the righteous so that justice is perverted. Honesty, raw. I mean, my dude is scary bold before God. You've got to have a great relationship with someone to talk to them like that, especially God. He steps up and he says exactly what he's feeling and thinking, and many of us don't do that. For one reason or another, we will not share with God what we really think and feel. And if you break these verses down, you can break them down into three major issues that Habakkuk seemed to have with God. And the first one is he basically is saying to God, God, you don't seem to care. Right out the gate, God, you don't seem to care. How long do I have to call out for help and you don't listen? I'm crying out, I'm praying, I'm seeking you, but you don't seem to be listening. I don't get that. The second major issue he has is that, God, you're not doing what you could. And I think this is one, at times, a tough one for me. Like, God, I know that you are all powerful. I know that you can do all things. I know that you could do this. But you're choosing not to. It's not that it's just you're not doing it. You're choosing not to do it. I don't get that. Habakkuk takes that before God. The third issue that he expresses is ultimately this, that God, what you are doing doesn't make any sense. This is where we get a little arrogant without thinking that we're arrogant. We're thinking, God, if I had your power, if I was God, I would have done this. I would do it like this. So let's be honest. How many of you this morning, again, have had these thoughts that you wanted to share with God? Yeah. Wondering if he really cares. Wondering why he didn't do something when you really believed that he could. And then watching as things happen and just saying it doesn't make any sense. Now, how many of you have actually said that to God? Some of you, but not near as many. And we have to get over that. We've got to move forward in that. But see, many times we suppress this because we think to ourselves, like, this is what I'm feeling, but I don't know if it's okay to say that. I don't know if it's okay to pray that. I mean, can I really say, God, I don't get this? Why are you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? Why are you allowing this to happen? God, it doesn't seem fair. God, this is frustrating to me. God, I thought you were good. Can we say that? As true believers, can we question Almighty God? I'll never forget, as long as I'll live, I'll never forget my senior year of high school. I know I've shared this story some, but I don't know that I've shared this piece. Laying on the football field with my leg going about three different directions in excruciating pain. You know, one of my coaches looked down and went, oh, God. You know, it was that bad. And me yelling, holding my face mask, just yelling, why? 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 And a coach, in that moment, looked me square in the face and said, son, don't question God. Don't ask why. And from that point, as a 17-year-old kid, I began to really try to figure that piece out. Is it okay to question God? Or do we just say, okay, and suppress what we're really thinking? What would God really want? And based on scripture, which should be the source of everything that we, as we seek, we should go to scripture. But based on scripture, as well as some life experience, I personally believe that it is 100% okay to question God at times. To come to him respectfully, but brutally honestly, and ask him some tough questions. I believe not only that we can do that, I believe we must do that. If you are feeling that way, in order to have a good, connected relationship with him, you have to be honest with him. There's no such thing as a healthy, good relationship where there's not honesty. I don't care if that's with your friends, with your kids, with your spouse, with your girlfriend, boyfriend, with the neighbor, with anyone. You don't have a good, healthy relationship if you're not honest, and it's the same thing with God. We have to be honest before him. And like I said, it's biblical. Check out the Psalms. There's plenty of times in the Psalms where people are questioning God. Where are you? How long are you going to be? Are you going to rescue me? Job, go ahead and read that book. You'll see some of that. And then even in Matthew and Mark, we see Jesus himself questioning. When he's on the cross, he cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? See, we hear that. We probably all know that. But we don't ever really connect those dots there. I believe it's critical to our relationship with God that we honestly go before him with our questions, with what we're feeling, with what we're experiencing, because he loves us. If my kid is going through something, either one of them, and they have questions, or they think that something I did is not fair, and they don't get why I did what I did or why I didn't do something, I don't want them just to say, well, he's my dad, he knows best, and keep it moving, because that's not real relationship. I want them to come to me and say, Dad, I don't get this. So then I can explain that to them. Reveal some truth to them. But that's not going to happen if they don't ask. So what do we do when we find ourselves in a situation like Habakkuk? When what we're experiencing and seeing doesn't necessarily line up with what we believe. And as many of you know, right now, these type of situations are heavy. They're difficult. They hurt. They're not easy. Many times, situations like this are make it and break it moments in your faith. And I acknowledge that. It's a make it or break it moment. So what do we do? Well, let me explain it to you like this. If I can get the image of the mountain up here on this screen. I want you to think about it from kind of this mountain perspective. So track with me here. At the beginning, at the base of the mountain, right? If you're going to climb that mountain, you got to start somewhere. You don't start in the middle. You start at the bottom. Started from the bottom. Now we're here. Sorry. Had to say that. Wasn't planning on that. Don't judge me. You start at the bottom, right? And so take, and if you want to climb that mountain, you climb it, right? You go up it. You got to take intentional measures to go up, and you can get to that first peak of that mountain, right? And it's the same thing with our faith journey. You got to start somewhere. So at some point in time, God begins to work in your heart, and someone starts telling you about Jesus, and you start to think about it, and you work through it, and you're like, I don't know, maybe. And then one day, you connect. You step over that line of faith. You give your life to Christ. You confess and you believe, and you begin this incredible journey on your relationship with God, right? So you're moving up the mountain. And then, man, you're doing that, and things are incredible. Right? You're praying and God's answering these prayers. You're fighting through like these struggles and you're easily making these life changes. It's like, man, this is awesome. Then you go to church and the worship's phenomenal and you're just connecting with God and it's just like you and him are just there just and you're just celebrating him and worshiping him and the message, man, it just spoke right to you. It was exactly what you needed. And you're just, man, you're flying up that mountain. And then you get to the peak. Everything's good. But then all of a sudden, something happens. All of a sudden, you go to church and you're just kind of distracted during worship. You're not really focused, and you're trying to, but you can't get into it. And then the pastor's word just falls flat for you for whatever reason. Everyone else is saying, man, it was a good word, and you're just like, whatever. Then you're trying to make this new change in your life that you know God wants you to do, and you're fighting tooth and nail, but you just can't get victory over it, and you're getting frustrated, right? And then you find out that your friend was in a tragic accident, and they're in critical condition, and you're praying for God to heal them, but then they just get worse. And what tends to happen is you're at that peak, that first little peak here on the left, and you begin to slide all the way down. You enter into a faith crisis. And when you enter into that faith crisis, you have a few different options that you can, and directions you can go, right? A few different directions. One that I think many people do is that they're halfway down that mountain sliding down in that snow. They say, you know what? No, forget that. I'm going to jump back up here to the top and act like that slide never happened. I'm just going to put the smile on my face, throw the mask on, ignore my thoughts and feelings, and say God is good all the time, God is good, and we're going to keep it moving. And I think there are far too many people in our churches today that do that. I've been one of them. So I feel like I could say that without sounding judgy. So you can do that. But like I said earlier, that is going to stunt your spiritual growth. And it's going to put a wall up in your relationship with God. And on the outside, you might seem like you got it all together, but inside, a mess. A whitewashed tomb. Other people will start to slide and say something like, you know what? I'm in this faith crisis. It doesn't make sense to me. And I thought God was good. And if he really was good, he would have done this thing. And if this is how God operates, I don't want to be a part of it. I'm tired of it. And then you just cruise your little butt all the way back down that hill. Walk away from it. Walk away from the mountain. A lot of people, unfortunately, do that as well. Or you can do the difficult thing. You can take the difficult journey. And you can say, God, I don't get it, but I'm going to embrace you. God, I don't get it. I'm going to continue to wrestle with it, but I'm going to trust you. And then you go on a different journey on this mountain. See, you kind of take that back trail. Not always going to be easy. Doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. Sometimes it gets worse before you be able to start that climb again. You do continue to slide a little bit, but then you find that path. God opens that door for you, and you get over to the other side of that mountain. And when you're able to embrace him through that storm, through that difficulty, through that thing that doesn't make sense, he's going to take your faith to a whole nother level. And you're going to climb up to that very top peak. God's going to take you on that journey. He can and will do that. That journey to the next peak. To a whole new level. A level that you never thought that you could probably ever get. And you don't get it. But the next thing you know, through embracing him, man, you're on this incredible journey. The next level. He'll give you a sense of peace. He'll give you some trust that you never thought you could have. That when you're starting that slide, all seems lost. But then God steps in and something incredible happens. As difficult as that sounds, you know, easier said than done, God may loving you allow to go through a season of doubt. So, of questioning, of fear and insecurity and unanswered questions so that he can take you to that next peak. I promise you, if there's someone in your life that you know that you're like, man, that person is just, man, their relationship with God is incredible. I promise you, they've been on that journey. They've went through that season of doubt. They didn't ignore it. They worked through it. They faced it. Obviously, this is a tough week for us as a church. It is. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. I'm not going to act like it's not. But God, his peace, man, is crazy. It's incredible. I don't know how else to say it. It's incredible. I went down to Memphis, not this week, but the week before. Spent the night there and spent a couple days with them, with Mike and Tess. And driving down there, I'm like, God, I don't know what I'm going to say. Because I don't get it myself. But when I got there, man, I wish you all could see how God was working in Mike and Tessa. The peace that they had blows my mind. Now, we talk about God gives you peace that goes beyond all understanding, and we think about it for ourselves, but I got to sit and watch and say, God, I don't understand how they're doing this. And it hurts for us. It hurts for them, but God is sustaining them because they've asked the questions. Trust me, I sat with Mike and we asked some tough questions together. But I promise you, they're on that next mountain. I promise you. Some of you right now are sliding. You are. You've entered into a faith crisis. You've hit the wall. God, I don't get it. You're hurt. You're angry. You're confused, frustrated. You don't know what you believe right now. But as your pastor, as your friend, what I want to tell you is it's okay. It's okay. It's okay to question. Okay to doubt. It's okay to take that to God. It just depends on what you do with it and how you allow it to motivate you. It's okay. You're going to be okay. But unfortunately, far too many people walk away at this point. They walk away in chapter one. See, when you read all of chapter one, you can kind of sum that up as just wondering. Wondering if God really cares. Wondering if God, you know, is really good. If he even listens. If he's there for us. Wondering why God lets these things happen. Why, God, why do you allow injustice to seem to just to run rampant? God, I don't get it. But it's important for your faith journey to ask those questions and to work through that. And again, this is exactly what Habakkuk went through. God, what are you doing? And what God said when he answered, again, wasn't exactly what Habakkuk wanted to hear. Again, this isn't that book. It's not a nice, clean little book where, woohoo, at the end, everybody's good. Check out what God's response to Habakkuk was in verse 5. God says, all right, Habakkuk, you've asked the questions. Buckle up, buddy, because here comes the answers. And it's a doozy. Verse 5. Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed, for I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if I told you. He's prepping them for the bomb, right? Verse 6. I am raising up the Babylonians, that ruthless and impetuous people who sweep across the whole earth to seize dwellings not their own. They are a feared and dreaded people. They are a law to themselves and promote their own honor. Their horses are swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves at dusk. Their cavalry gallops headlong. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swooping to devour. They all come intent on violence. Again, he's saying, hey, you guys, Y'all are struggling. Y'all ain't the greatest right now. A little bit wicked. Y'all going that direction. But the Babylonians, whoo, they're rough. They're the worst of the worst. And I'm going to use them to destroy you. And again, he's like, it doesn't make any sense at all, God. I don't get that. Doesn't seem fair. And so here's the deal. What do we do? We're in the middle of chapter one, and we're sliding down the mountain, and we don't really know what we believe, right? How do we get to that next mountain? Can we question? At this point in time, I would hope you'd understand that that answer is yes. But I want to share just a phrase with you that I really hope is going to be freeing to you. So if you're struggling with this right now, I want time's sake, we're just going to jump into just a little Cliff Notes version of it. But basically what there was this man whose son was possessed by an evil spirit. And man, he was struggling. And so he sees Jesus and he goes to Jesus. He said, Jesus, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus is like, if I can, everything is possible for those who believe. And check out the Father's response. I love this. Mark chapter 9, verse 24. Immediately, the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I do believe. But Jesus, help me overcome my unbelief. You see, there was a time, he's like, Jesus, when I believed. My faith was strong, and I was praying for my son to be healed, and we were going and seeing doctors, and we were encouraged, and we knew that this was going to happen, but it's still not. And Jesus, so I believe, but I'm struggling with it. So help me. He's honest. He didn't say, yeah, I believe. Put on the mask and leave the second part out. No, he said, I believe, but I'm struggling. I have some unbelief there. So help me overcome that. Because this is hard. It's difficult. And again, this is exactly what we see Habakkuk do as he wrestles with and embraces God. Verses 12, 13, and 14. Habakkuk here has simultaneous faith and questions. He says, Lord, are you not from everlasting? Question, right? Are you not from everlasting? My God, my Holy One, we will never die. Statement of faith. You, Lord, have appointed them to execute judgment. You, my rock, have ordained them to punish. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? Another question. He's asking a question, and he says, but we're not going to die. He's got faith still, but then he asks more questions. Faith and questioning. He's wrestling, yet embracing God. He didn't just say, God, I don't like it, I'm out. No, he took the time, the honesty, the tough road, the courageous road to say, God, I don't get it. Why are you doing this? I don't like this. And I thought you were good. Help me understand it. Help me to see where there is good in this. Or just give me peace as I work through it. Give me the courage to stay connected to you and not slide all the way back down the mountain. God, help me with that. And for some of you, again, that's where you're at right now in your faith journey. And it's okay. I love you, LifePoint loves you, and most importantly, God loves you. And he's big enough to hear and handle your questions. He's big enough for that. And he wants you to do that. Because he wants to walk with you through this. Because life isn't always easy. We were never promised an easy life. It's not. But we do have the one that can sustain us. He will walk in stride with you. And if you're willing to wrestle and embrace him, he will take you to that next peak. Inevitably, there's going to be another little slide. There's going to be those more questions. There's going to be those struggles. There's going to be those difficult things that we face that we don't get it. But we're going to be a little more equipped to deal with it. A little more understanding, a little more trust. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But then he'll take us to that next level. And then to the next, and to the next. Right? I mean, there's so many scriptures that speak to this that we see in James. Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. It's always been a passage of scripture that I struggle with. And how can I count it joy when my faith is rocked? It's because it brings about perseverance, strength, and a connection with God. If you've gone through difficult times with people that in your life, it creates a lasting bond that you can't really explain. And working at U Spiritus for 12 and a half years, I've gone through some pretty terrible, terrible situations with some people. And there's a brotherhood and sisterhood that we are connected because we've gone through it together. Same thing with God. When we're willing to wrestle with him and embrace him at the same time, say, God, this is where I'm at. I'm gonna let you know. And let's go through it together. It's going to strengthen your relationship. It's going to create perseverance. And you will not be lacking anything. You're in chapter one. You're wondering. And next week, we're going to talk about chapter two. A little preview. It's not much better. Chapter two is all about waiting. And waiting. But if you can wrestle and embrace, we'll get to chapter three. We'll talk about that one later. But I want to encourage you. It's okay. Love each other, hold each other up, and take it to God. He's big enough to handle it. He wants to hear your questions. He wants to speak truth over those. So while you're wrestling, make sure that you continue to embrace him throughout it. And you're going to be all right. Let's pray. God, we come to you today, a church that is struggling a little bit, going through some trials. You know that, and I just want to acknowledge that to you. A lot of us don't understand some things that have transpired, some things that people we love are going through. But God, help us to ask the tough questions. Help us to be honest and authentic with you. Help us to wrestle and embrace you at the same time, Lord. Because, Lord, I'm confident that if we can do that as individuals and as a church, you're going to surround us with love. You're going to surround us with peace. Even if those questions remain unanswered for a long time, maybe forever, we know that you can sustain us and give us peace. And take us to that next level in our faith and relationship with you. God, and I long for that myself, and I long for that for every single person sitting here that's listening in, God. So God, comfort us. Give us wisdom. Give us clarity. God, I pray that over the Mullins family. Pray that over Life Point Church. I pray that you give us clarity. Maybe you're here this morning and you're wrestling with faith in general. You can't really embrace God because you don't believe in him. You've never stepped over that line of faith. You've never given him your life. And if that's you this morning, I want to encourage you to keep wrestling. Keep asking questions. Keep seeking. But if this morning he's making it known to you, you realize that you are in desperate need of a Savior, that you have flaws and failure, that you're not perfect, and that you need him. Don't push him away anymore. But receive him. Step over that line of faith. Maybe for you, the reason that you haven't done that is because you still had questions. Guess what? I've been in church my whole life. Been a believer since middle school. I'm a pastor. I've been through Bible college. Been in ministry 10 plus years, and I still have questions. So don't let that hold you back from going on the most incredible journey of your life, connecting with the most incredible person you'll ever know. So if that's you, just confess and believe. Give your heart and life to Jesus. And let him begin to take you on that journey up the mountain. Scripture says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God rose him from the grave, that you'll be saved. It's confessing and believing. So if that's you this morning, just right there from your seat, from your heart, you can just call out to God and say, God, I believe who you say you are, and I need you. I believe I have flaws, failures, I'm not perfect, so I'm asking you to be my Lord and be my Savior. I believe that your son died and rose again for me. And you just confess and believe however it is that he leads you. And from that moment on, you're a new creation. You start the climb. But maybe you're here and you are a Christ follower, but you are in a faith crisis like no other. It's okay. Sit in it. Spend time with God. Ask him questions and listen. Ask him questions and watch and see. It's not easy, but I promise you it'll be worth it. Wrestle and embrace. So what I want to do is I just want to ask you to spend time with God. With whatever it is that you need, you take that to him. You do business with him. If you would like to come forward and have someone pray with you, we will have some people up front to do that. But if you're comfortable staying where you are, that's fine. If you want to come up front, that's fine. If you just want to come up and pray, that's fine. You do what it is that God leads you during this time while Jared and the team pray. But please know that it's okay. And please continue to wrestle, but embrace him through that process. God, again, we thank you for who you are. And I pray that during this time, Lord, that we would be sensitive to your leading, that we would be honest with you, that we would connect with you. God, so I ask for your spirit to be in this place now and just do a work in all of our lives, God.
I believe in the Son. I believe.